Alison Thompson. Welcome to Conversations with Authors. My guest today is Jonathan Rees, author of The Team Synergy Master Plan. Jonathan is a business consultant specialising in working with IT teams, and his book brings together some of his vast knowledge on the subject. During our conversation, Jonathan tells me about the unique way he went about planning and writing his book. So good afternoon, Jonathan. How are you?
Good afternoon, Alison. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. It's good to talk to you. So I know you've got one book out at the minute. I want to kick off by asking, what inspired you to start writing it?
What inspired me to start writing was that my business mentor stroke coach issued me a challenge, which was if you feel that you have something to say about this particular area, which was the challenges of teamwork in IT, why don't you write a book? And I challenge you to write it in 4 weeks. And I guess I balked at that and went, but surely you can't write a book that fast. And he went, no, I think you can if you sit down and think about how to do it. And yeah, I guess we'll come on to how I did it in a minute.
Ah, okay then. So go on, tell me, how did you do it? And what did you learn while you were doing it?
Well, what I did was, and I must admit, considered kind of turning this, my particular approach, into a product, but never mind. What I did was, he basically challenged me and said, okay, tell me what the top three challenges are within this area. And I told him quite quickly, and he said, okay, so now you have the main three things that you're going to talk about in your book. You then write a little bit of introductory about you, and off you go. So how are you going to do it? And I said, well, the only way I know how to do this is to do a mind map. So what I actually did was sat down, I think it was probably a Wednesday morning, I sat down with a piece of flip chart paper, and I drew a mind map with four branches, one that said me, one that said the other three, that said each of the three challenges. And I looked at this for a little while and then went, okay, what are the two or three key things that I can say within each branch? So that gave me a sub branch. And before long, I found that the whole page was filled with writing from, now, it started with, you know, flip chart markers. I ended up writing with a biro. The page was absolutely packed because once I started thinking about the elements of the three key challenges as I saw them, I then got into talking about what the detail was within each one. I then worked out, if you like, a common approach to talking about each one. And I think I basically said, you know, here's the issue. Here's an example. Here's what you might do differently. Took the same approach to each chapter and literally created a mind map. I stuck the mind map on the wall behind the computer with a bit of blue tack. And I used Dragon Dictate, which I found to be excellent. I dictated into Dragon Dictate basically straight off the mind map. So it wasn't exactly what was on there, but it was whatever came to mind. And that, of course, produced page after page after page of almost unreadable text. But I was then able to, because that's the problem, obviously, with Dragon Dictate, you need to say full stop, comma, open quotes, etc., which if you're just trying to speak, you don't normally say those things.
It's very difficult to keep your flow going when you're doing that, isn't it? It's very hard.
So just basically doing almost a blurt straight into the computer, it generated pages and pages of text, and I, rather than trying to edit it on screen, literally put in a blank line about every three lines to break the text up, printed it out, went and sat somewhere else and added in, you know, punctuation and made a few amendments, and then came back and redictated it as if I was doing it for the first time, but with the punctuation in. And well, you know, because I suppose I came to you and said, okay, this is what I want to do. And I told you the time scales, and I think you said, well, that's quite tight, but we got it written. And then you edited it down. Now, in terms of elapsed time, I guess I think it took us about 11 or 12 weeks, didn't it? But it was over the summer.
Yeah.
And we each had challenges of either holidays or other things going on. In terms of total work, it took us less than 4 weeks to go from absolutely nothing to a book in the Kindle store and a sale.
That's not bad going, is it?
It was amazing.
Not bad going at all, yeah. That is an interesting process that you went through. I'm a big fan of mind maps, and I use mind maps for my book, and I'm just working from a mind map for my second book as well. So it's amazing when you start putting down those core ideas where that takes you. Much information you can come out with just from doing that.
I've
not heard of anyone dictating their book, though. I think that's really interesting that you got the bulk of it down through using Dragon Dictate.
Yes, and I have to say that there was a very specific reason why it happened that way. And the reason was that the challenge I was given was not necessarily to write a book. It was to produce a one-hour audio product.
And so...
Actually, all I had to do was to produce some audio of me talking, and that's how I started off I hit on the idea of just dictating it straight off the mind map. If I'd been doing only the audio, I would have still done it exactly the same way, but obviously just not produced a book at the end. So by that, what I mean is taking a mind map and just speaking straight off it produces something that is borderline uneditable.
Right, yeah.
Even if it's audio, I started to try and edit the audio in GarageBand or whatever, and it was just too hard. So taking the kind of edited down version that would dictate properly and creating audio from that was actually much easier.
Right, yeah. So it was quite a long process, but it sounds like quite a productive one, ultimately.
Oh, absolutely. I can't remember how many thousand words it was, but it was a lot more than I expected for the amount of time that I put in. And we're not talking a novel here. You know, that's 80,000 words plus. It's not that size of book, but it was never meant to be.
Non-fiction can be as long as you want it to be, I think. Yeah, the boundaries of what makes a non-fiction book are very flexible, whereas fiction does tend to come down in that, 80,000 words and above.
Yeah.
Which I think is something people don't realise. They want to write a book, but they think they have to write something epic. And actually, you can write 10 or 20,000 words. And if they're focused on the target, on the topic, that's all it takes. That's all you need to do sometimes.
Yeah.
So what else did you learn along the way?
Well, I learned that. I learned a number of interesting things. One of which is that being issued with a challenge, if you're the right kind of person, is exactly the impetus or the encouragement you need to really get going. So, Paul Avin said, "I think you can do this. Go away and do it." Mm. And I suppose part of me wanted to prove to me and to him that I was serious. The things like, well, I have no idea how I get it in the Kindle store. I can't edit it. He said, "You want the proof, fairy? I came to you. You did your piece of work." So there's two things there. One, accept a challenge and have a good old crack at it. There's no one way to do it. There's no right way to do it. I did it a way that I made up because I had a deadline and went, okay, I'm just going to crack on with it. And the other thing is to seek out the people who have the expertise that you don't. In order to meet your deadline or, achieve your target. Now, I think for what you do, it's very reasonable. Some people would think that's quite a lot of money. I haven't made the sales to cover the costs, but that was never the point in the first place. Mm. Accept a challenge, seek out the help where you need it, and you can actually do an awful lot more than you think you can.
Sounds good. Sounds like good advice. What did you do then? You said that you were surprised at how many words you came out with. What else did you do that you wouldn't have thought you were capable of maybe before you started?
I suppose I'd never thought about the illustrative stories that I have stored away in the kind of crevices of my tiny brain. And I hadn't realised that there were quite so many of them that would be so relevant to illustrate the points I was trying to make in this book. So if I give you a concrete example, this was Paul Avin said to me, "So tell me, what are the three challenges in IT as you see them?" I said, "Well, they're about communication, they're about virtual teams and team working, and they're about the technology for its own sake issue." He said, "Okay, so tell me a little bit about each one of those." So I did. And I then sat down, as I've described, and wrote it. And I introduced at a couple of points, I introduced some names of characters to illustrate the points. Mm. I didn't realize how many stories I had stored away that I could use to illustrate the points I was trying to make. So relying on what's inside your head is just as good as what's inside someone else's head. I.e., by that I mean, I think everybody has a story to tell or a set of stories to tell. You just need the confidence to have a go and get it out there. After all, what's the worst thing that can happen? It would have been possible for me to have written something and got it into the Kindle store, and a few people will always take a freebie download anyway, even if they never read it. But I have actually sold this book in places like Japan, which seems bizarre to me. Never even thought about anybody in Japan reading it.
That's impressive.
Well, impressive if I said I'd sold 10,000 copies. The fact that I haven't, I've probably sold 120 copies is more the truth.
So you said you sold it in the Kindle store. It was on Kindle, and I know I did the formatting for you to get it on there. So yeah. Have you found any sort of particular advantages or disadvantages about selling it that way as opposed to maybe doing it as a paperback book or an audiobook?
I did it as an audiobook as well. It's not for sale through the Kindle store, so it's available as an audio download as a lead magnet, really, within the business. I've only had feedback from a couple of people on the audio product. I've had feedback from a handful of people on the book in particular. I tell you one thing I didn't mention, which is I found an old friend in Houston and sent them a copy of the script to read. And they had been party to some of the things that I talked about as stories. And they gave me the single most useful piece of feedback, which is that I kind of introduced a character out of nowhere at some point. And she said, you introduced this character. I think I talked about Jovial Jane. So somebody who's always smiles, despite however bad, difficult work is getting. They're always smiling. And at a different point, I introduced a frantic Fiona. Not because I know any people by these names who are those kind of personalities, but she said, I don't understand who Frantic Fiona is and if she's anything to do with Jovial Jane and who is this miserable Matthew or whatever. Why don't you use them as characters throughout the whole book? And that gave me, that gave me a horizontal thread through the three different verticals of what I was talking about. So that was really, really valuable feedback. And it kind of brought it all to life.
So you then had different viewpoints for each of the three topics that you were covering, because you could see them through those characters' eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take on it. Yeah. So what's happened since publishing the book in terms of you as an author or you as a bit as an expert on the subject that you were writing about?
Fair question. I'd have to be honest and say not a lot, but that's probably more to do with me not making as much of it as I might have done. Like I said, I've sold maybe 150 copies. I've sold them in odd places like Japan and Germany, and I've given away quite a few copies. I've had, actually, one of the best things I did was I created a SlideShare overview of the entire book, and that's had hundreds of downloads from SlideShare. And I also, somebody gave me some feedback, which is make the first chapter available as a free download from your LinkedIn page. I've had feedback that has made my LinkedIn profile much more interesting and more kind of complete and more rounded out. So I think, in specific terms, I can't say, I've got an additional piece of work or £1,000 worth of work from it. But anecdotally, people have given me feedback and said, I noticed that you've done this, and this. And people that I've worked with in the past have seen my LinkedIn update and then gone and downloaded the book. And one guy actually pinged me and said, I've just bought your book. That is a really great feeling.
Yes.
I've just bought your book. Wow, that's amazing.
It is good. Yeah, it is a good feeling. So it sounds like the book is acting kind of like a business card for you almost.
Yeah, that's a good summary.
Interesting way to use it. So I'm going to skip the order of the questions here. What are your writing plans for the future? You've got this one book out.
So the original plan was to write 10 effectively 10 volumes of the Team Synergy Master Plan. So covering teams like IT teams, police teams, marketing teams, sales teams, law teams, and even F1 teams. Mm. Nearly all of those I have contacts in. So I'm currently doing some work with a major police force. I'm doing some work with a marketing organisation. I've done some work with law firms. I have some contacts into F1. So some of those were easily achievable. So, for example, manufacturing, Andy Dobson at the BWC in Oxford is a manufacturing specialist. So he and I were going to co-author the next book. We just haven't got round to it. Mm. So the idea was there would be 10 volumes of this book. Like I said, in our kind of preamble, I haven't got on to writing the next one, but I realized that the structure works. The kind of pattern that I've created will work. And actually my idea was to sit down with Andy and do a Skype call like this, ask him the questions, draw the mind map, and follow the exact same process to produce another one. But it would be more directed at the manufacturing sector. Mm. The idea was I would write all these 10, not booklets, but 10 books, and then condense the learning from all the 10 areas down into one and say, this is a Team Synergy Master Plan.
Right. That you can take and use in any business, in any industry.
Yeah. But yeah. That I would have effectively a lead magnet into any target market that I might think of.
Right. Through the individual books.
Through the individual books. Yeah.
So do you think that will still go ahead at some point in the future?
That's really interesting that my immediate reaction is to pause. I still have a picture in my mind of 10 books on the bookshelf, all with, spines where the top half is the same colour, that the blue that you chose with Team Synergy Master Plan on, and the bottom half is, you know, three big challenges in IT, legal, police, F1. I still have that vision in my mind of doing them all. I haven't got any concrete plans at this point to do any subsequent ones. But like I said, I do have the contact. So it's probably more about the time. And, you know, as somebody who runs their own business, I think you experience life in the same way, as when there is work, you take work. So that might put the brakes on other things like writing. Having said that, I discovered that I really do like writing. Mm. And so it would be more a question of carving out the time and adhering to it for myself to do it. So I'd love to. I suspect what will actually happen is I will end up writing the one book in a couple of years' time based on experiences in the different market sectors that I'm currently working with. So some of those ones I listed earlier.
Yeah. Okay, then. So watch this space. I think there is going to be something else to come.
Yeah, oh, definitely. There'll definitely be something else to come.
So before we go, you've already given us lots of useful advice on how to write a book, very different ways of writing a book to the sort of traditional planning and sitting down and handwriting it. What other lessons or tips or advice could you pass on to other aspiring authors who are listening?
Okay, so this is easy for me because I actually lecture at the University of Bristol on how to write your paper as a part of an engineering doctorate. And the key message that I try and get across to people is when you write, write, and when you edit, edit. Mm. Now, that deserves a little bit of explanation. So what I mean by that is write in one place and in one particular way, and edit in another place and in another particular way. So if you can write sitting just at your computer, and you can write without wanting to edit the text, and you can turn off the spell checker and everything else, then fine. I can't do that up front, so that's why I use a mind mapping approach, and that's why I use dictation, because it comes straight out of your head and it gets down on the page, and that's what you're trying to do when you write. When you edit, however, your brain already knows all the words that are on that page. And so you have to find a way of almost deceiving yourself, your brain, into thinking it knows what it sees and seeing what's actually there. So do you know what I mean?
Completely. Yeah.
You and I, we will write the. You probably pick it up much faster than I will. but because I wrote it, I won't see it. And that's why, you know, that's why we use people like you to help us find those problems.
Yeah.
But what I suggest to the students, and I'd suggest to anybody who's interested at this point, is instead of printing your magnum opus, your manuscript, in standard portrait style, Times Roman 10-point font, black on white, I'd suggest you print it landscape. You print it in 15-point font. You print it in bright pink or blue, or you change the colour every line, so that you change the line length, the word size, that you completely change how your brain reacts to it. And then I would find somewhere else to go and sit and mark it up and basically mark up the edits. So when the weather was nice, I would go and sit outside in the garden somewhere that I don't go for anything else and just go through and edit all the text in one hit, by highlighting all the things that needed to change, and then coming back in and sitting down to the place where I do writing to actually make those corrections.
It's a very, very good tip, actually, yes. My own experience, after I'd edited and edited and edited, I actually sent it across, sent a very rough copy onto my Kindle, and then read it in bed on my Kindle, and reading it there, again, it was completely different to seeing it on a screen. And I suddenly saw all these mistakes and things. I thought, how can I have missed those? But yeah, it just tricks your brain into thinking you're reading something new.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really good tip. Yeah.
But the physical anchoring is also really important. So by that I mean choosing a different location to write in and a different location to edit in. I've known people who have two caps made up, one that has a big E on and one that has a big W on, E for edit, W for write. And when they're editing, they put the W hat on the table in front of them so they can see that they are not writing, they are now editing.
Yeah, that's very true. Again, from personal experience, because I spend so much of my time editing for other people at my computer, I can't write at my computer.
No, not
so
surprised.
So I do all my writing on my iPad. Yeah. With a Bluetooth keyboard, sitting on the sofa or in a cafe or somewhere else, and then I come back and I do the editing on the computer because that's where it feels right.
When you do it.
Yeah. So really good tips for someone else. Have different hats for different jobs. Do them in different places. Change how they look so that your brain gets into writing role or editing role.
Yeah.
Fantastic advice. Is there anything else you'd like to throw in?
No, other than to say thank you, because had it not been for the service that you provide, I wouldn't have a book in the Kindle store.
Thank you very much.
And it was very reasonable. You're really helpful. And you know, you came up with an attractive looking cover. And I've sold some books, so you know, that's great.
You are a published author officially.
Indeed.
Do you want to give the book a quick plug before we finish?
Yes. The book is called Team Synergy Master Plan: The Three Big Challenges of IT Teams.
And it's by Jonathan Rees, and it's available on Amazon on the Kindle store.
It is indeed.
So thank you very much, Jonathan. It's been really good talking to you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Technology is developing all the time, and using something like Drag and Dictate to plan and write your book is an interesting idea, and one that would definitely work for many people. To find out more about Jonathan, you can buy his book, The Team Synergy Master Plan, on Kindle from Amazon, or visit his business consultancy website, makingteamswork.com. To hear more conversations with authors, visit www.theproofairy.com/conversations. I'm Alison Thompson, and I'll be back soon with another Conversations with Authors podcast. Bye for now. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. You can find out more about Dave Marriott and his book, Where Shall We Walk Today? Walking the Pennine Way, on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/orerate. That's facebook.com/orerate. The book is also available on Amazon. To hear more conversations with authors, visit www.theproofferry.com/conversations. I'm Alison Thompson, and I'll be back soon with another Conversations with Authors podcast. Bye for now.